With that stable of innovator correspondents in place, Gordon would then go back to them 2 or 3 or 4 times a year, asking them what music they were listening to, what television shows they were watching, what clothes they were buying, or what their goals and aspirations were. The data was not always coherent. It required interpretation. Different ideas would pop up in different parts of the country, then sometimes move east or west, or sometimes west to east. But by looking at the big picture, by comparing the data from Austin to Seattle and Seattle to Los Angeles and Los Angeles to New York, and watching it change from one month to the next, Gordon was able to develop a kind of coherent picture of the rise and movement of new trends across the country. And by comparing what her innovators were saying and doing with what mainstream kids were saying and doing 3 months or 6 months or a year later, she was able to track what sorts of ideas were able to make the jump from the cool subcultures to the majority. Gordon's findings became the template for the Airwalk campaign. If she found new ideas or trends or concepts that were catching fire among innovators around the country, the firm would plant those same concepts in the Airwalk ads they were creating. Once, for example, Gordon picked up on the fact that trendsetters were developing a sudden interest in Tibet and the Dalai Lama. The influential rap band The Beastie Boys were very publicly putting money into the Free Tibet campaign and were bringing monks on stage at their concerts to give testimonials. The Beastie Boys pushed that through and made it okay, Gordon remembers. So Lambesis made a very funny Airwalk ad with a young Airwalk-wearing monk sitting at a desk in a classroom writing a test. He's looking down at his feet because he's written cheat notes on the side of his shoes. When a billboard version of the ad was put up in San Francisco, Lambesis was forced to take it down after Tibetan monks protested that monks don't touch their feet, let alone cheat on tests. When James Bond began popping up on the trendsetter radar, Lambesis hired the director of the James Bond movies to film a series of commercials, all of which featured Airwalk-clad characters making wild escapes from faceless villains. To look through the inventory of Airwalk ads in that critical period, in fact, is to get a complete guide to the fads and infatuations and interests of the youth culture of the era. There are 30-second spoofs of kung fu movies, a TV spot on beat poetry, an X-Files-style commercial in which a young man driving into Roswell, New Mexico, has his Airwalks confiscated by aliens. There are two explanations for why this strategy of advertising was so successful. The first is obvious. Lambesis was picking on various, very contagious trends while they were still in their infancy. By the time their new ad campaign and the shoes to go along with it were ready, that trend, with luck, would just be hitting the mainstream. Lambesis, in other words, was piggybacking on social epidemics, associating Airwalk with each new trend wave that swept through youth culture. It's all about timing, Gordon says. You follow the trendsetters. You see what they're doing. It takes a year to produce those shoes. By the time the year goes, if your trend is the right trend, it's going to hit those mainstream people at the right time. Lambesis wasn't just a passive observer in this process, however. It is also the case that their ads helped to create epidemics out of the ideas they were discovering among innovators. At times, it was their campaign that was providing the critical push that allowed certain trends to tip. Gordon says, for example, that when something fails to make it out of the trendsetter community into the mainstream, it's usually because the idea never took strong enough root in the culture. There aren't enough cues, she says. You didn't see it in music and film and art and fashion. Usually, if something's going to make it, you'll see that thread running through everything, through what they like on TV, what they want to listen to, even the materials they want to wear. It's everywhere. But if something doesn't make it, you'll only see it in one of those areas. Lambesis was taking certain ideas and helping them take root, planting them everywhere. Along the way, as well, they were providing that critical translation. Gordon's research showed that innovator kids were heavily into the Dalai Lama and all of the very serious issues raised by the occupation of Tibet. So what Lambesis did was take one very simple reference to that, a Tibetan monk, and put him in a funny, slightly cheeky situation. They tweaked it. Innovators were into kung fu movies. So Lambesis made a kung fu parody ad where the Airwalk hero fights off martial arts villains with his skateboard. Lambesis took the kung fu motif and merged it with youth culture. They took the cultural cues from the innovators, cues that the mainstream kids may have seen but not been able to make sense of, and assimilated them into a more coherent form. They gave those cues a specific meaning that they did not have previously, attached to them a specific sensibility, and packaged them in the form of a pair of shoes. It can hardly be a surprise that Airwalk tipped in 1995 and 1996. Lambesis wasn't just a passive observer in this process, however. It is also the case that their ads helped to create epidemics out of the ideas they were discovering among innovators. At times, it was their campaign that was providing the critical push that allowed certain trends to tip.